Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Addy Bioscience, we had the pleasure of speaking with Andrew J. Wagner, MD, PhD, about key long-term findings from the Phase 2 AMPEC trial of nab-sirolimus in patients with advanced malignant perivascular epithelioid cell tumors. Dr. Wagner is the Medical Director of Ambulatory Oncology and a senior physician at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, as well as an Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, both in Boston, Massachusetts. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Wagner discussed current unmet needs for patients with PEComa, how ongoing research aims to address some of these gaps, and how findings from the AMPEC trial in particular support the use of nab-sirolimus in patients with advanced malignant disease. How prevalent are malignant PEComas?
So malignant PEComas are a rare type of sarcomas, which themselves are quite rare. So we estimate that there's probably about 15,000 new cases of sarcoma in the United States each year, and malignant PEComas are less than 1% of that. So we're probably talking the order of 100 or fewer patients diagnosed with malignant PEComa in the United States each year.
And currently, what does the malignant PEComa treatment landscape look like?
So now, going back, close to 15 years, mTOR inhibitors have become the standard first-line treatment for patients with advanced malignant PEComa, and that could be disease that's metastasized or disease that's not resectable by surgery or treatable by other local therapies. And this is from some observations that were made going back to that time that the mTOR pathway was commonly dysregulated in a large fraction of patients' tumors. Typically, that's through alterations in one of the genes, TSC2 or TSC1. Each of which makes proteins that are negative regulators of the mTOR pathway. So when those genes are mutated, mTOR is hyperactivated in the tumor, and mTOR inhibitors can be effective in the treatment. So that's become the standard treatment from some initial case reports going back about 15 years to other patient-reported series from different institutions since that time, and then most recently from the AMPEC study of nab-sirolimus in patients with advanced malignant PEComa.
What is the historic median length of treatment response and survival then in patients with metastatic unresectable malignant PEComas?
Most of our information, the historic information, is just from those case series that I mentioned. The median duration of benefit, the median progression-free survival, if you will, was roughly around 6 months with mTOR inhibitors as first-line treatment. In those case series, the data are not usually collected prospectively, so it's not quite the same as comparing it to a prospective clinical study, but there are clearly some patients who have long-term benefit from mTOR inhibitors, and there are other patients who unfortunately don't derive any benefit from mTOR inhibitors. So the median is in that range, but there are people who are on either side of that median.
And then what would you say are some unmet needs for patients with PEComas from a clinical perspective, and what needs are often most voiced by patients with PEComas?
Well, the greatest need is to have an effective treatment with few side effects that can be quite durable in activity. I mean, that's what all patients would like, ideally to cure them of advanced disease. Unfortunately, in most cases, that's not possible. The big challenges, I think, that still exist in the treatment are in those situations where patients either never derive any benefit from treatment or initially develop benefit from an mTOR inhibitor and then develop resistant disease. In the situations where patients don't initially derive benefit, we have some understanding of that. For the most part, it's actually the opposite. It's that patients whose tumors carry a mutation in TSC2 or TSC1 tend to have a better response to treatment than patients whose tumors do not carry those alterations. We're still trying to understand those other alterations that can be present. Probably the next most common alteration that we see are translocations involving the transcription factor TFE3. It's not quite clear how well the mTOR inhibitors work in that situation. In the AMPEC study, there were two patients who had TFE3 translocated tumors. One patient had stable disease on treatment, the other one had progressive disease as the outcome. That's an area that we still need to understand better about whether mTOR inhibitors work well in those tumors, and if not, what treatments we should use. And there's still a fair number of patients, probably close to half the patients, who their tumors don't have identified mutations in TSC1 or TSC2 or even in TFE3. And we're still trying to understand what is driving those tumors. From the AMPEC study, we know that some patients with tumors that don't have those mutations still can benefit from mTOR inhibitors. So they're still the standard first-line treatment is an mTOR inhibitor, irrespective of the underlying mutation. The second area of unmet need is those patients who do have good benefit from mTOR inhibitor, and then it stops working. And that's an area where we're struggling to find an explanation for why that happens. It's different than other kinase inhibitors, than like tyrosine kinase inhibitors, where quite typically we see alterations in the kinase that prevent the prior drug from binding or being active anymore. We're not seeing that in the tumors that we've been able to sequence with secondary resistance to mTOR inhibitors. So we're not seeing a clear, reproducible mechanism of developing that resistance. And this is an area of active research to try and understand why secondary resistance occurs and how best to target it. That's still an area of unmet need. Patients clearly want medicines that are going to work and that don't have bad side effects. For the most part, the mTOR inhibitors are pretty well tolerated. The more common side effects that we see are oral epithelial ulcerations or stomatitis. Usually can be pretty well treated if it occurs with either a dose reduction or with steroid mouthwashes. There's the risk of pneumonitis, which can be a serious side effect to patients and needs to be monitored and managed if it occurs. Usually presents as cough or shortness of breath. But dose interruption, sometimes use of steroids, sometimes dose reduction can help manage that. And then some patients have other side effects such as a rash. They can have alterations in their fingernail growth. They can have some fluid retention and occasionally changes in other laboratory parameters such as liver enzymes, cholesterol increases, in some cases, creatinine increases, all of which typically can be managed quite safely. But those are the common side effects. Of course, we want to minimize those. We want the patients not to know that they either have the disease or have side effects from the medication. And that's still wanting to get to a cure, but if we can't get to a cure, we'd love to have those other factors met.
Turning specifically to the AMPEC trial, can you describe the design of the study a little bit?
So this was the use of nab-sirolimus in patients with advanced malignant PEComa. So it was either a disease that had metastasized or disease that was locally unresectable. It needed to be malignant PEComa, and they could not have had prior treatment with mTOR inhibitors. And of course, these were all patients 18 years or older in the study. They were eligible with other eligibility criteria, which were pretty standard for clinical research studies. They could receive nab-sirolimus as an infusion once a week for 2 weeks in a row, followed by a week off. And those three-week cycles continued as long as the patient, number one, wanted to continue, number two, had evidence of ongoing benefit and tolerability of the drug. It was a single-arm study, a single-arm phase two study to examine the benefits and side effect profile of the medication.
What findings from the trial were previously reported, and then we'll dive into the long-term results?
The key endpoint was the response rate of about 39% in patients treated on the study. In addition, we found that the patients in general tolerated the medication quite well with the side effects that I described already, all of which were manageable in the patients who were on the study. But that was the key endpoint. The other thing that was notable was the duration of response, and those are the data that were recently updated in the more recent publication. The median progression-free survival for the entire population was 10.6 months. The median duration of response was 39.7 months. And the median overall survival was 53 months. And those were the data that were updated in the most recent publication.
Now, we talked about the safety profile of the agent a little bit. Are there any patients in whom you would hesitate to use nab-sirolimus because of its safety profile?
You know, in general, no. In general, I think it's a pretty well-tolerated medication, certainly if a patient has had an allergic reaction to it in the past or other toxicity from another mTOR inhibitor in the past, then I would hesitate to use it. The situations where we need to be a little more careful are patients who have uncontrolled diabetes, because mTOR inhibitors can affect blood sugar levels in some patients who have underlying renal dysfunction, people who have uncontrolled hyperlipidemia, because these are all some side effects that can occur with the medication. And certainly anyone who's had pneumonitis before is just something that you also need to be careful about, because the drug can also cause pneumonitis. But in general, the medicine's pretty well tolerated, and nab-sirolimus is intravenous, so you know, they need to have intravenous access. The oral inhibitors from case series previously reported can also be useful, especially in patients who have more difficulty with intravenous medications.
What ongoing or upcoming research is needed to further expand treatments for patients with malignant PEComas? And do any of these studies include further investigation of nab-sirolimus?
The key questions are still revolve around what causes secondary resistance in patients who initially respond. I think that's a really important question to address. And that might involve using mTOR inhibitors like nab-sirolimus in combination with other agents that might block other pathways in addition to mTOR. So that's a key question to address in research. And then also addressing those other tumors that don't have initial benefit from mTOR inhibitors and finding the best treatment approaches to those. Part of that is dependent upon identifying the drivers in those tumor types, which might be different than the mTOR pathway itself. Part of it might also include the use of mTOR inhibitors in combination with other agents.
Now, in terms of predictive and prognostic biomarkers in PEComas, because it's such a rare disease, how do you see that sort of coming to fruition?
We looked at this a bit in the MPEC study. In particular, we looked at two different things. One was the genotype of the tumor, and the second was the phosphorylation status of the S6 protein in archival tumor specimens. From the genomic perspective, patients who had tumors that had TSC2 mutant tumors were highly likely to respond to treatment. And patients who had TSC1 mutant tumors, there were fewer of them in the study. There were only five. And one of those five had response to treatment. And as I mentioned, of the other 11 patients who didn't have an identified TSC1 or TSC2 mutant tumor, there was a response in that group as well. But clearly the TSC2 mutant tumors are the ones that were most likely to respond. The other finding we had was related to phosphorylation of S6 protein. And in this analysis, when we looked at phospho-S6 staining in archival tumor specimens, tumors that did not stain for phospho-S6, meaning the mTOR pathway is probably not activated or hyperactivated, those tumors did not respond to nab-sirolimus. So it was a very interesting finding. Again, it's a potential biomarker. It's not one that we've been using clinically yet, but it may help identify tumors that are less likely to respond. Again, the absence of phosphorylation of S6 protein, but again, not a standard clinical test, but something that might help us from a research perspective identify those tumors that are less likely to respond and therefore may need additional or alternative treatments. I really thank the patients who were willing to participate in this study. I think as we started, it's a super rare condition, an ultra rare sarcoma. And the best way for us to understand more about it is for patients to volunteer to participate in these clinical studies and also in studies that permit the use of leftover specimens so we can understand the disease better.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Addy Bioscience. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.